Cambridge Breakfast
with Julian Clover.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Two passionate swimmers and long-time Lido enthusiasts have teamed up to curate a captivating book which celebrates the rich history and vibrant community of Jesus Green Lido in Cambridge. 100 yards, 100 voices, a century of swimming at Jesus Green Lido. It's written by Annie Morgan James and Becky Allen. They are both here this morning. Morning to you both.
Morning.
Good morning.
Lido or Lido? We always have a bit of a debate.
It's a broad church. You do what you want.
Either is good. It's not a scone-scone situation going on.
No, you can have either. But interestingly, probably some of your listeners will be shouting at the radio now going, it's Jesus Green Pool. And it's also had the name Jesus Green Bath. So when it was first built and opened in 1923, it was called Jesus Green Bath, because that's what swimming pools were called. And then it sort of converted to Jesus Green Pool. So a lot of people growing up in Cambridge and who are still around now still refer to it as Jesus Green Pool. But with the resurgence of swimming, a Lido or a Lido is somewhere where people relate to swimming and are always, when they're travelling around looking for somewhere like a swimming pool, they will say, oh, is there a Lido? So it's a political kind of title.
Interesting.
So
when I lived in South London, it was Tooting Beck Lido.
It was the local
one there. Which I almost figure it's almost like there's no other Lidos other than Tooting Beck and Cambridge.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's interesting you mentioned Tooting Beck, because we are similar to Tooting Beck. We're not as old as Tooting Beck, but we are as long.
Yeah, and it was 100 years last year, I think, wasn't it?
It was 100 years since it was built and open last year, but the first full season was 1924, so we're still in a kind of 100-year celebration.
It's like these, some of these sort of celebrations tend to go on forever, don't they?
I think it's worth spending a bit of time celebrating, because so many towns and cities in the UK lost their Lidos, and we're really lucky, you know, that we've still got it 100 years later.
And why the book? Obviously, the anniversary, a good time to do it. But what
really
led you to come up with not just the idea necessarily for the book, but deciding what kind of book it was going to be?
Well, we've been involved in the Friends of Jesus Green Lido for several years, and we've been thinking about planning the centenary activities for several years, and it was one of the other swimmers who suggested that we should write a book. And so Annie, whose background is a historian and I'm a writer, we decided that that's what we'd do. And I'm not sure we had a very firm idea of the shape that the book would take, but we decided quite early on that we'd like to speak to 100 swimmers. And so it's a portrait of the community there.
That's an interesting point, because one does get the sense that there is a genuine community, a Lido / swimming community, which is there. Do you think it reflects Cambridge as a whole?
It always amazes me that there are still people in Cambridge and people who've lived for a long time in Cambridge who don't know it exists. And one of the nicest things for regular swimmers there is to meet people on the towpath walking past the entrance and see them turning their heads and looking at the pool, and their faces are just full of joy.
They are. And on the other side of that, there are communities within communities in the pool. There are people who, for generations, have actually swam. They came to the pool, learned to swim, perhaps when they were at school, and then they came back as teenagers, and they were hanging around, and lots of stories, and quite a few stories about break-ins. I'm not sure that the better would be happy about that, but those sort of rites of passage for teenagers and association with Jesus Green and first loves, all sorts of things like that. And then coming back again with their children, and in some cases, grandchildren. So the generations of people, families, were associated with the pool. And it's particularly in the summer, it's very much a place for children and enjoyment and family picnics. But it's also a place for other communities of very specialised swimmers who want to train to cross the channel, or who are triathletes, or swimmers like Becky and I, who just love swimming, or cold water swimming. It's open all year now.
There's something in the distance of the pool, isn't there?
Yes.
I think how long is it?
It's 100 yards long, and that really makes a difference to most swimmers. I think one of the things that that upsets people about indoor pools is the frequency with which they have to change direction.
Yes.
But swimming outside is such a different activity to being indoors. You know, you've got the trees and the weather, and sometimes we have ducks on the water, we have squirrels around, sometimes there are frogs, the odd hedgehog. And it's every day. It's a different swim. And unlike indoor pools, people stay and chat and have a coffee from the cafe. And that's something you really don't get in indoor pools.
I don't want to do down Parkside, but it's quite an interesting contrast, really, isn't it? I wonder. It's almost, I don't know, corner shop and supermarket, perhaps.
Well, there is a sense of something traditional, something perhaps that we miss now in the everyday rush of our lives. And certainly when you go through the turnstile, you come into a place that is very welcoming. We have got a great little cafe that Moz runs, and Mary is a great front of house. And it welcomes everyone, welcomes new people. Yesterday we were actually on local television and there was a group of people that had only been swimming for a few weeks, and they said how welcoming it was and how wonderful it was to be able to swim in the water and then come out and chat with people, and people were smiling and happy. So it is, if you're lonely, if you're on your own, or if you've got health problems, then you just want to lift your mood. It is a place to come, and you can just sit by the side of the pool and watch the water, watch the leaves coming
and those
down.
Are the stories that people have shared with us in the book. I've been really struck by how honest most of our all of our contributors
were. Oh, what kind of honesty? Do share.
People talking about mental health, people talking about other chronic conditions, and how the community and swimming, cold water swimming, has helped them. And it really, it's an environment that people share a lot with each other, and they may not be talking to people who they see outside the pool, but the pool seems to be a very safe space for a lot of people, and one in which people can share their happiness,
the back of their community,
and their joys,
again.
But also their sorrows.
Yeah, the community is very important. It is the people's pool. And I think when it was opened in 1923, it was quite cutting edge, because it was one large pool for everyone. It had been originally designed to be two pools. That's why we have one for men and one for women. And that's why we have a deep end in the middle, which is quite unique.
Yes, of course.
And we have had, in the celebratory period, we've had a piece of music by Tom Ling written for us, focusing on that idea of the deep middle. But it was also built to mirror the river, so it runs alongside the river. And in the first few years, it was filled with river water, and so people used to complain a little bit about the fish nibbling them. So there is a great connection with swimming and swimming in the river. And there are many people who swim in Jesus Green who also still swim in the river. But before the pool was open, there was a historical tradition of club racing, swimming in the river. And a lot of that moved to the actual Jesus Green bath at the time. And there were many, many events and competitions and fun times. I think fun is another thing. Joy, fun, community.
We got a message from Deborah, who's a regular listener to the station. She said she used to go there in the 60s, weekly trip with the school. We used to cringe at the temperature, which was on the board outside. Did, though, manage to get my 14-yard certificate. So that's one width, says Deborah.
Yeah,
that's
excellent.
Right, that's right. I mean, that was a big reason for the pool's creation.
Yes.
It provided, as well as providing work for returning soldiers from the First World War, the council minutes that we looked at while we were researching the history, which is part of the book, it was very clear from that the councillors wanted to ensure that as many kids as possible could learn to swim there rather than in the river, which is where they had learned
That's
to swim.
Interesting. Do you feel it was, I don't know, it's been almost eclipsed in some ways by Parkside? I know you say that there are people who clearly go to Jesus Green Lido in favour, but you know, Deborah was there getting her school certificate, whereas presumably now schools might go to Parkside.
Well, I mean, sadly, a lot of kids don't get to learn to swim now. I mean, that's a major concern for us, and something I think that a lot of swimmers at Jesus Green would like to become involved in, maybe to team up with one of the life-saving charities and teach people at least to learn to float, which is a lifesaver.
Yeah. Mm. Tell me, the book itself looks very sort of luscious. I don't know if that's quite the right word, but are there many pictures in there for the years? And how did, I guess as the historian, are you probably had a hand in searching for some of them? We both
had a lot of time in the Cambridge collection and are very grateful to the Cambridge collection and the Cambridge Library and Lion Yard for many of the photos that we have. The old black and white photographs of everybody on the diving boards. And again, Deborah will remember the diving boards, which were a big feature in the early years of the Lido. And we have lots of wonderful snaps of our own and from other swimmers. But Martin Bond also, he did the wonderful cover.
He's Cambridge Diary there. Fame,
Cambridge
of course.
Cambridge Diary, yes. So he gratefully gave us some wonderful photos to contribute to the pages of the book. And many other people, Rebecca Chico, and then Francis Jeans's paintings. So we've got all sorts of different colourful pages.
That sounds pretty good. Where do we get the book from, should we be interested?
We'll be selling the book at the Lido every Sunday morning between now and Christmas. Mm-hmm. And so the Lido really is the best place to get it.
Yeah. And we have a launch on Sunday at 11 o'clock, so everyone is welcome to that.
Okay, but 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock at the Lido.
Turn up and bring your swimming costume as well.
Yes, you can swim or you don't have to swim. You can come and just have a look at the book or buy the book. You're very welcome.
Yeah. Well, thank you both very much for coming in to tell us a little bit about that. It's a great, great project, really is. The book is called 100 Yards, 100 Voices, A Century of Swimming at Jesus Green Lido. It's written by Annie Morgan-James and Becky Allen, who we heard from there. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.